So we are in a series titled The Heart of Christmas. And going back a couple weeks, we talked about our physical heart. The physical heart, about the size of a fist, is an amazing organ in the body. It pumps thousands of times a day and millions of times in our life. And without the heart, we just couldn't stay alive. But here's what it does. The heart pumps blood and oxygenates our body, and we have life. When we think of the heart of Christmas, we think of the real meaning of Christmas, of Christ coming, and he is at the heart of Christmas, and here's what he does. When we understand who he is to us and his love for us, he oxygenates our life. He gives us new life. He gives us power to deal with our past, power and vision for our future, and in the present, he is Emmanuel, God with us in the present tense. He's the heart of Christmas. Now, week one, we looked at hope. Last week, we looked at peace. Today is part three. Joy is at the heart of Christmas. We're talking about joy. And so I'd like for you to read with me in your notes the sermon listening guide, Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." Understand that the angel announced about Christ's birth, and he said this: "This is a message of good news and great joy." Great joy. The word great means mega or large. It's like supersized. It's not regular joy. This is big, enormous. It is a mega joy to each of you. Do you know that God wants joy in your life? He wants you to be joyful people, especially as his son or daughter. We have a tank inside of us. Call it a joy tank. And he wants to fill it till it overflows so that we live out the message and the good news of great joy. Now, in the book of John 15, chapter 15, verse 11, Jesus said this. It's in your notes. Let's read it together. "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." In other words, Jesus has eternal joy. He's the source. He's the one we tap into. And he says his joy can live in our lives and it becomes our joy. So circle the words Jesus said, "my joy," and then he says it can become your joy and that you might feel complete. We're talking about joy this morning. And I want to give you a big idea, thought for the entire message. It's in your notes. Let me read it. In the New Testament, the word chara, it's a Greek word, is used to describe a deep, abiding sense of joy and gladness that is rooted in spiritual realities rather than external circumstances. Let me explain that. Christmas is 9 days away. We have a tree, we have gifts, we have family gatherings, and all that is fun and healthy and good, but it's external. And the joy that Christ wants us to know is an inside job. And it's based on eternal truth and eternal reality apart from our circumstances. You may be here today, and this could be the hardest season of your life. And I know for some of you it is. The outward circumstances are very difficult. But the joy that Christ can deposit into our lives. He downloads into our hearts this sense of gladness that we can experience is something he gives apart from external circumstances. I want to go back to the picture of the sunrise. I think it's a great visual. You see, God wants you and I to have a shine factor in our life. You know what it is? It's joy and gladness. You want to become more attractive? And I'm not talking about physical appearance. I'm talking about on the inside. When you and I have this sense of joy and gladness, this sense of shine on the inside, this sense of God doing something in my life that he just deposits there, it's like a sunrise. There are some people that walk into a room, they don't even say a word, but you see the sunrise in their life. You see the sunshine. And when you gather at your family events, or you go to school events, you go to church events, I want you to keep in mind your shine factor. Because when you and I have a Christ-like shine factor in our life, you know what happens? People are drawn to that. You become more attractive. You're magnetic. People are drawn to you. You know why? They may not be able to explain it, but it's Christ in you. It's called joy. It's called gladness. It's having this sense of, wow, his blessing upon your life. And you know what the end result is? It just shows up on your face. It was fun watching the kids smile. And, if we have joy in our life, it better show up somewhere. And a good place for it to do is to smile. Just smiling is like a sunrise to other people that impacts them. It's something that's within each of our reaches. Just to say, God, through Christ, help me to live a life of joy. So here's what I'd like to do. I want to share with you four truths about joy, four simple ideas. And I hope when you leave here today, you got a better understanding of how your tank of joy can be filled inside of you. Number one, the first truth about joy is this: lasting joy is only found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Lasting joy is only found when you're connected to him. Read with me in your notes, John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. These are the words of Jesus. We've heard it before. He's the vine, we are the branches. And he says, whoever abides in me, stays connected, has a union, lives and perseveres, you endure life, you continue on, and you dwell in that place, here's what he says he'll do. In him, I will bear much fruit. In other words, he is the source of joy. If you want to ramp up the joy factor in your life, you know what you and I need to do? We need to abide in his presence. We need to intentionally spend time with him, and it will affect everything about our life. There's a statement here at the end of the verse that is pretty significant. Here's what he says. Without me, you can do nothing. In other words, if we do not abide in this relationship with him, you know what happens to our life? It withers. Do you know any people with withered lives? We all do, don't we? It's not pretty. I mean, it's dry, it's just kind of tattered, and yet if we abide in him in this relationship, he is the source of joy. Now here's a quote I'll have Jack put up. Today, I choose joy. So what's that mean? If you choose on a daily basis to abide in this relationship with him intentionally. You spend time in his presence, you pray, you read his word, you obey, you follow. 10, 15 minutes, you take that special time during the morning or evening. Let me tell you, what you're doing is choosing joy. And he will fill us to overflowing with his presence. I read a story about a woman by the name of Norma Jean Mortensen. And at a young age, she went to many different foster homes. And Norma was taken advantage of in these foster homes at different times. She got to be a young woman, and beauty was in her favor. She was a very attractive lady, and she eventually went to Hollywood. And she was a smashing hit, and she changed her name. And her name was Marilyn Monroe. Now, as the story continues, she was a symbol of beauty in America, and we saw her pictures, or we've seen them through the years. But here's what happened. At age 35, they found her in a hotel room. She had died, and she had taken an overdose of pills, and the phone was even off the hook. And the author here that wrote about her life wonders if did she ever really find the place of what it means to abide in a relationship with Christ. You see, meaning in life is found in that connection with the vine, not in our outward beauty or our outward abilities, our outward educational pursuits or accomplishments. Joy and the meaning of life is found on the inside in our connection, in our relationship, in our union with Jesus himself. So Marilyn Monroe, I think she had three marriages, and she was trying to find something. We don't know if she ever did. Only God knows. But the point is this, you and I are on the same journey. And joy is something that is found only in a connection with the one that is the true eternal source of joy, and that's Jesus himself. And we have to choose it. How do we do it? We stay connected to the vine. He is the source, and the nutrients come into our life. All right. So number one, it's only found in a relationship with Jesus. Number two, it's a fruit of the Spirit. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Read with me, Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So here's what Paul is saying. If you're in a connected relationship with Jesus himself, you're going to have nine different fruits. They're going to show up in your life. And this is the list. Hopefully that over time, your love has grown toward other people. Your joy has gotten larger. Your sense of peace has expanded. Your patience, like a rubber band, you're better at being more patient. You're kinder. You're good to people. You're faithful. You're gentle to others. And you have self-control. These nine fruits are a byproduct of abiding in the vine. Now, here's a list of them. And you can see online. And whenever we're connected to the source, these things should show up if we're growing. So here's a picture of some grapes. The vine, which represents Christ, is the source of nutrients. It flows out of the vine into the branch, which becomes the grapes. And you and I are represented by the grapes. I mean, that is God at work in your life. And this fruit of joy is one of the grapes. And joy is when we have this sense of shine and gladness and thankfulness that's anchored to who we are in Christ apart from external realities. That's why some people who are going through one of the most difficult seasons of their life are attractive and full of faith because they have a gladness shine factor that is eternal, and it's not dependent upon a Christmas tree or presents under the tree, external realities. It's totally separate. And sometimes when we are in our lowest point in our life, God's shine factor is the highest in our life. And so we find that it's a fruit of the Spirit. Now, the question is, how do you get more of it? And we do it this way. We take time in the morning or evening, whenever it works best, maybe 15, 20 minutes, and you listen to his voice, you read his word, you pray for other people, and you say, I'm going to obey what he shows me. I mean, it's very simple. But you abide and remain connected, and the fruit is automatically going to show up when we're faithful to him. Okay, so number one, it's only found in a relationship with Christ. Number two, joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Number three, it can increase and grow. How high is your joy factor this morning? You don't have to say it. On a scale of 1 to being low and 10 being high, how would you rate your joy? All right. Your sense of gladness, your sense of shine. Now, I've got to throw this question in too. How high would people rate your joy factor around you? The people closest to you. You know, I've come to realize there's some people in life that are just fun to be around, right? They're just great. I mean, we're drawn to them. They walk into the room, it's like a sunrise. It's like they're full of joy. They that's just who they are. And then there's some people that are not so fun to be around. Why are you laughing? Just don't look at anybody, right? But seriously, can I suggest in the next 9 days, or probably the next couple weeks, as you go to family gatherings, school events, church events, whatever it is, shopping, check your joy factor. And make an intentional decision to shine. Kindness, goodness, the long lines are going to be there. It's going to be frustrating. But just say, you know what? When I go to my family gathering, I just want to shine. I want to smile. I'm gonna let joy just kind of radiate through me. You don't have to say a word. People will notice it. And God is looking for his children to be different in this world. He wants people that represent who Jesus is in us. And part of it is just our disposition of gladness. Some Christians are really cranky. I mean, seriously, God wants joyful children because that's just what Jesus died for. And so he wants us to be joy-filled people. All right. But number three, this thing can increase and grow. Read with me Isaiah 9:3. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest. Here's what it's saying. You know, when Jesus showed up in Isaiah, it says it's like a light dawned on the entire nation, the world. It just dawned like the sunrise. And then he imparts that to individual hearts, and he says it can increase. Your joy tank may be a 3 today out of 10. I don't know. It can go to 4, to 5, to 6. You know what? It's going to make you a better person. People will love to be around you if you have a deeper tank of joy. It's filled up. It's overflowing. People will be drawn toward you. Here's a quote. Joy does not simply happen to us. We have to choose joy and keep choosing it every day. Now, how do you do that? You make a decision to abide. Stay connected to the vine because that's where the nutrients come from. Jesus said, apart from him, you and I can do nothing. We are flat, dead out, broke. But with him, all things are possible. So to increase your joy, make a daily decision to choose it, and you abide in his presence, stay connected, just live in relationship to him. And you know what's going to happen? Grapes are going to show up just because you're following him, and that's what he grows in our life when we do stay connected to him. All right, number four. The fourth thing about joy is this. It is a source of strength. Read with me Nehemiah 8:10. This day is sacred to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So Nehemiah gathered a bunch of people and they rebuilt the walls around Jerusalem. They did it in 52 days. It was an amazing accomplishment. Now they get towards the chapter 8 and they're celebrating. They had a hard time doing it. It was a real battle. But here's what he said. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Did you know that if you have a high joy factor, it's like fuel. And it can get you through a heap of hurt. You know why? God is in your life. And if you have joy, it's a high-octane fuel that'll just set you apart even in the times of greatest struggle. Here's a quote. Joy is a power cultivated. You know, when we go to the gas station, we pull in for a fill-up, or if you have an electric car, you plug it in. But here's what it does. It refills your battery or your tank. If you have deep levels of joy in your life, gladness, this sense of shine because you're connected to the vine and the source, you know what? It's a power. Joy can get you through a lot of stuff if you cultivate it, if you make room for it, if you intentionally receive it and let God deposit it into your life. Joy is powerful. So four simple things. Wow. It's in a relationship with Christ. That's the only way we get it. He's the source. Number two, it's a fruit that grows naturally and normally when we stay connected to the vine. Number three, it can increase. It can get bigger, deeper. We can experience it at a higher level. Number four, it's a source of strength, especially in difficult times. I have two slides and I'm done. Here's the next one. Joy is the echo of God's life in us. I want you to soak that in. If you have Jesus living in your life today, your joy factor, your shine factor, your sense of gladness, the sense of just appreciation of life is an echo of Christ living in you. I love that. And then here's the last one. Someone has said, joy is the most infallible signs of the presence of God. Now, let me just say this. You know why this is true? It's because some people that are hurting the worst in this world, but have Christ in their life, still have the sign of the presence of God through joy in their life. You know why? It is not dependent upon external circumstances. The people that have spoken or ministered to my heart the most in life are the people that have gone through the worst times. I'm amazed at many. People that have gone through deep struggle, and yet they've got joy in their life. You know what it is? They're connected to the vine. They're living in relationship to him. And you know, it just shows up. God wants your life to be that person. He wants you the next 9 days, the next 2 weeks. Be a high shine wherever you go, will you? Family gatherings, intentionally. But you got to stay connected. You've got to abide. And when you do that, it'll be natural. It won't be forced. We can't manufacture it. But through faith, Christ will produce that in us. And it's a sign of God's presence in us. So here's what I want to do now. We're going to take just a couple minutes as I close. And I want you to receive joy in your life. This past week, we had a staff meeting, and we were talking about John Mitchell, who was here at the end of October in our prayer conference. And we talked about how we don't do well at receiving. We often present our prayer request to God, and we move on through the day. But we have to receive joy. We have to open our hearts to it. And when we do that, he downloads it. He gives it to us. So we're going to take just a couple minutes of silence. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, close your eyes. And I want you to open your mind and your heart to Christ living in you. Now, if he's in your life, you're right there. You just be up to date with him. If you've never asked Jesus into your life, today's a great day. Or you recommit your life to him. It's real simple. You say, "Dear Jesus, forgive me of living life apart from you. Forgive me of all my sins. I invite you into my life to be my Savior and my Lord." It's real simple. And if with heads bowed and eyes closed, did anybody pray that for the first time? Put your hand up and put it down. Anybody? First time? How about just recommitting yourself? Did anybody say, "Here I am, Lord, take me"? Okay. So here's what I'd like to do. I want you to receive joy. He's the vine, we're the branches. And I want him to fill your tank. How's he do it? You got to abide. Be still in his presence. So as we just have now some time of silence, open your mind and heart and say, "Dear God, fill me with your joy this Christmas season." Let's just take some time of silence right now. Father, we thank you today that we are experiencing the heart of Christmas. It's called joy. And I pray that as we just abide in your presence right now, this moment, you will fill our tanks with joy. And that the next 9 days to 2 weeks, we will be intentional to guard and to cultivate a sense of joy in our lives. And that wherever we go, whether we're waiting in line, at a family gathering, wherever it might be, Lord, we make a commitment to you to shine. Shine through us so that we can be a blessing to the people around us. That's what Jesus came for us to experience. Give us a spirit of gladness, a spirit of thankfulness, and a spirit of that will help us to shine wherever we go. So, Lord, thank you for the privilege of being here this morning. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.